Hey everyone, it's Nellie Thomas here. How are you doing? This is Dear Nellie, Sex, Relationships and Dating from the Other Side of 40. We hope you're loving the podcast as much as we are. A few quick things before we get into the show. For information about our fabulous live shows, which we do semi-regularly, go to nelliethomas.com and follow the links. We've just done a few in Melbourne, one in Sydney, and we'll be back for more early next year in 2024. Now, your listener calls are the backbone of this podcast. They're the best. Chuck out the rest. Take a chance. Send me in your question, your comment, your dating story, regret, anything really. We absolutely love hearing from you, and you can remain anonymous. Follow the links on my website or see the show notes for more information. To support the podcast and keep it coming out for free, please rate it on whatever app you're on now. Just pull it out. Hopefully give it a 5-star rating. That helps other people find it. Tell your mates, share it on socials, do all that stuff. If you can, please join Patreon or Acast Plus for $5 a month and you get a bonus episode every month and some other perks. If you can't, that's also fine. Just keep listening every week for free. We can't do this without yous. Now, this podcast was recorded in the council area known as Maribyrnong in Melbourne. I would like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the land, the Wurundjeri, Woiwurrung and Bunurong peoples of the Kulin Nation, and pay my respects to their elders past, present and emerging. Last but not least, if you're new to the podcast, this is a sex, dating and relationships podcast for adults. Let me put it this way. If you don't like swearing, it's really going to give you the shits. So off you fuck.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Dear Nellie, I could use some advice, dear Nellie. Yes, yeah, some help would be nice, dear Nellie. I'm eager to hear your point of view, dear Nellie. There's a lot to explore, dear Nellie. When you're 40 or more, dear Nellie. So I'm hoping we can talk it through.
I know, but record. It's the universal record symbol.
Fuck off, Sammy.
Or red.
You better keep that in. Welcome to Dear Nellie, Sex, Relationships and Dating from the Other Side of 40.
Nailed it.
We are so professional.
Did really well the first time.
We are joined today by someone who's not 40. The controversy. It is producer Sammy Peterson.
Oh my goodness. Thank you for having me, Nellie. Heterosexual.
Heterosexual.
Rampant under 40. Heterosexual.
Entirely unsuitable for this
That's
podcast.
Right. Yeah. I do not tick any of the boxes.
Never been in a relationship.
Nah.
No
and
idea.
Won't. Never will.
Never will.
Never will. Have not my dog interested. And that's it. Not interested. Next question.
How old are you, Sammy P?
I am 32. I turned 32 on Sunday.
32. Happy birthday to you. But
you're
an old soul.
I am an old soul. I've always hung out with people older than me. So I've always kind of felt like I've been older than I am. Yeah. Like
you do. You don't look older, but you seem older.
Yeah. Imagine if you were like, you look way older. You don't seem well.
I thought you were my age.
You are not well.
Have you ever dated anyone older?
Yeah. Like maybe like 3 or 4 years older. Okay. Not any more than that. But I reckon probably 4 years has been the most I've dated.
Are you getting into MILF territory?
No, I'm not. I'm not yet.
You're not into Jennifer Coolidge kind of territory?
No, I'm not. No, but I love Jennifer Coolidge.
Oh, who doesn't?
Yeah.
I mean, you date her for the story.
I had a friend that went out with Jennifer Coolidge on a date.
Stop.
Once. Yeah.
You
yeah.
did not.
I, yeah. And he went on a date with her and said it was just wonderful. I think they went on 3 dates or something when she was in Australia doing stand up. And I don't think I'm allowed to say anything more, but it was a good, he said he had a great experience and she was fantastic and
gorgeous.
I imagine she would be. She'd be the funniest, most wonderful person.
I reckon she'd be on, you know, if you could have 10 people at a dinner party, she'd be on it for me on that list.
Yeah. I'd have Whoopi Goldberg.
Oh yes.
Yeah. And that's the end. Yeah. End off. Just so me and Whoopi can finally get it on.
I was going to say.
How about it?
Because Whoopi and Jennifer would fucking hate each other.
Yeah.
Would be my guess.
Yeah.
Like, can you imagine Whoopi Goldberg just sitting there going, Jennifer, speak properly.
Yeah.
Seriously.
You're being an idiot.
What are you on, girl?
Yeah.
So let's go back to, I'm interested in this age thing. Mm. Like this is a question without notice. You're not currently online dating, are you?
No, I'm not.
But you have.
I have.
Previously.
I have.
What's your age range? Like, how high would you go? How low would you go?
I would probably, now that I'm 32, when I was probably like 20, 28, when I was probably on the apps, heaps.
Yeah.
Just heaps.
Heaps.
I was like 35.
Yep.
You know, and then lowest would be about 25.
So you're going kind of 5 to 7 years, give or take.
That's
either
right.
Side.
Yeah. Okay. Which I thought was pretty good. I don't know. I kind of feel like you're, but also like, cause everyone always thinks I'm either older than I am or gay.
Yeah.
They're the two. They're the two. The two. So it's always hard.
I wasn't going to say it.
I said it for you.
You know why? Because you're a sweet man, you know, like you're not some fucking macho asshole and you listen and you like women.
Mm.
And a lot of people, whether consciously or not, go, oh, he must be gay then.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just a nice man.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I've fallen into relationships before when people are like, oh, you're not gay. Like, you're out some for a drink. They're like, oh, you're not gay. And like, oh, look at you a little bit differently after that.
Oh, a couple of friends of mine have asked if you're gay.
Yeah.
But I think it was wishful
always happens.
Thinking.
Yeah. It always happens. I always do get, more men interested in me than women.
And then for me, they're like, she's gay?
Yeah,
really?
Yeah.
You and I are like two peas in a pod.
Yeah.
So would you, I don't know why I'm firing these questions at you, but I know there's lots of single women listening, single straight women in the wild.
Yeah, so let me
ask you this and tell the truth. Would you date a woman with children?
Yeah, I would. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I've never thought about it.
Yeah.
But I would if someone came along and like I was like, I liked them and then I found out they had kids or whatever. Look, they're not hiding them. I don't know why in my head they're suddenly hiding the kids.
That's right. They're in the car.
They're in the car.
The windows
are down. We're at the casino having a lovely day.
On.
I go for every first date at the casino.
Don't worry, the security guard goes past
it's
every five
fine.
Minutes.
Fine, I wouldn't worry about it. Stress less.
So, because you're in that age bracket now.
Yeah.
Right? Particularly if you went, say, 5 to 7 years above.
Yeah.
You're very likely to be in single mum territory.
Yeah. Well,
what's the pros and cons as you see it?
I think not being able to.
Hi, Daddy.
No, thank you. Not being able to go out. Like, because I've got a dog. I've got a big dog, right? And it Missy Diggins, and it limits you in the times that you can, you know, you have to be home, you have to do things. And so kids are obviously a whole lot more responsibility. And so probably I think the commitment would be a hard thing because I'm really busy and it would be hard, I think, to fit in with other people's schedules sometimes. I know that, you know, you're like free two nights a week at the most.
Yes.
And so I think finding that time would be a really hard thing, but not impossible. Like if you want to make it work, you make it work.
Oh, and I fuck but you have a good time when you do.
Yeah.
Have the chance.
Yeah, because you're ready. Oh. And you feel more powerful and
do
like
you know
a
what?
Sexual demon. That's what I describe
you as. You've got some pent-up energy.
The sexual demon.
She's going to blow.
She's
going
to blow.
I think because it's at this age, and I mean you're nearly 20 years younger than me, but anything over 30. Yep. I reckon it's much more of a conscious, deliberate thing. It's not like when you're in your 20s and you just sort of you might still be hooking up, but it's a very much more casual thing.
Yeah.
By the time you get over 30, you've probably got a job.
Yeah.
You've got some sort of responsibilities. In your case, it's a dog. In my case, it's kids.
Yeah, yeah.
And even though that sounds ridiculous, it's not. Like, you can't leave a dog alone all night.
No, you
can't
just crack the window with the kids in the car at the casino. That's what you have to do.
You
got to
think about it.
Yeah, you do.
You're not like footloose and fancy free.
No, no.
I reckon you'd be great with a single mum.
Yeah, I'm shit with kids.
You are not.
I am really bad.
My kids love you.
Yeah, no. Your kid, like kids of that age, I
oh, you
get
mean
along
little
with.
Kids.
I mean little kids. Okay. I'm always, I don't really know what to say.
This and is, then, I'm coming back to Jennifer Coolidge. You need a 40-year-old, you need a MILF.
Yeah, yeah.
With teenagers.
With teenagers, yeah. I can talk to about TikTok.
Who can do your TikTok
for
you. Yeah,
that's fun. Yeah. So I need a social media manager.
You're currently single.
Yes, yeah, I am.
Not on the apps.
Not on the apps.
Mingling, no.
Mingling? No, not really. No, not yet. But at some stage I'll be mingling, going on dates and stuff. But, yeah, it's been a while since I've gone on lots of dates. Going into the dating scene or anything.
Since
it seems kind of
game.
Scary.
Yeah.
And then going on, I'm getting back into stand-up now.
Yes.
And so I'm doing lots of gigs.
Yes.
Like, I haven't done them yet. But I have. They are booked.
Yes.
So I have to do them.
Yeah.
And so I'll be out a lot.
Yes.
And so there's a lot going on. Like, I'm about to move house. So it's just a lot of chaos. And it kind of feels like at the moment, with all of my nights booked up, like getting back into the dating scene when I'm ready rather than, than.
For context, so you used to do stand-up.
That's right.
And then you had it much like me. You had enough.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You've decided to go back in.
Yes.
And I think that's part of the rebuilding.
Yeah.
You know, it's something for you.
Yeah.
It's something that you're good at.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you're quite right. It will get you out and about. You don't need to be on Tinder.
No.
And I don't even mean for dating. I mean, you'll be out.
Yeah, I'll be out. And that's going to be a good thing to be, I guess, putting the dog to bed and going and doing a gig like at 8:30 where usually, and one of the big parts of enjoying not doing stand-up was that I haven't done it in 5 years.
Yeah.
And I would be at home at – I remember the first night I was home after doing – when you do it like four times a week. I was like, the first night I was at home at 8:30 p.m.
Oh,
and I was like,
heaven.
Oh, I'm home.
Yeah.
And I didn't have to go out anywhere and I wasn't thinking about the gig.
Yes.
And now, as I say that, I'm like, why the fuck are you doing it again?
Yeah.
But I'm building up to a show, which is going to be fun for me. But at the moment, it kind of feels like I'm in a bit of a flailing patch.
And also, this is the process.
Just the cobwebs of,
dust
off the cobwebs. You're going to get it. I've got all my old material. I'm going to go and do all my old jokes and see if it's still funny. And if it's not, then I'll have to write new jokes. And,
that's just
the process.
That's part of it.
Yeah.
And that's, Dear Nelly listeners will come and watch you.
Yeah, great.
I will come and watch you.
Yeah.
Like, this is all part of the process. You came to my last live show. The reason I did the drag, for example. So for those who don't know, I have a drag character called Finger Food. I've always wanted to do drag since I was like 19.
Yeah.
I didn't do it until last year, so I was 48. Part of the reason for me doing that is because I'm not perfect at it. Right? You put me behind a podium giving a rousing speech, I'm fine.
I know
how to do that.
That's your comfort zone.
Oh, that's my comfort zone.
Yeah.
Sometimes you need to be pushed out of your comfort zone.
And
that is really hard. And you coming back into stand up after 5 years, that is terrifying.
It's terrifying for a few reasons. One of the ones was I found out I collapsed on stage. Found out I had a heart condition on stage.
How do I not know this story? I blacked out
and because I just made it up, lol. No, gotcha.
What's up with heart conditions?
Is this thing on? I've still got it, baby. No, but I blacked out.
Don't eat too much of it. It's high fat content. No.
Yeah, tip your waiter.
Jesus.
I collapsed on stage and it was one of the last times I did stand up.
Oh, Sammy.
And then to break – because I didn't want the fear to be attached to it,
yeah,
I decided to go and do a few more gigs.
Oh, well done.
And every room booker will go, you're not going to have a heart attack tonight, are you? As soon as I go, that's not the thing to say. Oh. Like, don't say that to me. So that, and then, so I haven't done it in a long, the heart is fine.
Yeah.
But it is an interesting thing to get back into it when you go, oh, there was a reason that I stopped doing it. Mm. And now I'm going back into that, the kind of the firing line, which is great and it's what I want to do. Mm. But it is interesting to go and walk into that environment again where you're like, oh shit, like last, like yeah. I do like live podcasts and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's a
you're
very
the same
different,
as me. You're still in the industry. You're still yeah. working, but it's a very different thing. This will bring us both down, but it's mm. relevant.
Mm.
I associate it. So the last show I did was with the dearly departed Stella Young.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. So I directed her show. I was doing my own show. So yep. we were together every night. And then she passed away not long after that. And yeah. that's when I decided, not because of that,
yep.
but it was a contributing factor to kind of all I could associate stand up with was that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and it's, there was lots of other factors as well, but I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
You will break that though.
Yeah, absolutely.
You will break it, but yeah. it's just going to be a bit nerve-wracking to get back in.
Yeah, and when you put
like
a,
dating.
Like dating, yeah. And when you put a relationship on two things, it's mm. hard to like break that. Like
it
it's
is.
Hard to go, oh, those two things are separate.
Mm.
It is hard, like with Stella mm. and with her. Like mm. it's so hard to go, oh, they are so different.
Mm.
They are so different, but mm. for some reason you kind of put them together and you're like,
emotionally, oh, no. they're connected.
Yeah, yeah.
So in terms of like normally I go back.
Yeah.
I want to do that with you another time. Can we go forward?
Yes.
Do you have a vision, like would you like to be in a long-term partnership? Are you happy being single? What's where are you at?
I don't know. I think I would like to be in a long-term
mm.
relationship. Mm. I think I would. Like, I mean,
you're a real people gatherer.
Yeah.
Right? You've got yeah. really good friendships.
Yeah.
You've got a lot of people in your life, so it's not like you're lonely, I'm guessing.
No, no. Yeah. Like, I can always pick up the phone. Like, yeah, and that's the great thing. Just you can always see mm. someone. You can always talk to someone. Mm. You can. So, yeah, I'm busy, which mm. is good, but that other connection mm. is really nice when
you
it's
wanna
easy.
You want to cuddle.
You want to cuddle. And Diggs, you know, he's a bit of a cuddler, but
he farts a
he
lot.
He also farts a lot. He draws on me.
And is it, in all seriousness, is it that, I mean, obviously there's the sexual part of a relationship, but from my discussions
I don't think so, not
you,
until you're married.
And not when you're gay dating women.
That's right.
But my discussions with you suggest to me that for you it's affection.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
you, when I say you want to cuddle, you really do want to cuddle.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, and, you know, I might have a strap on when I do it, but mm. having some fun up here.
I've got a mouthful of water. Oh my God, you're pegging.
Just pegging nonstop. Can't stop. Can't stop, won't stop. I love affection and I love, you know, I guess it, you know, a partnership is a lot different. Like
yeah.
it's like you go to the same things,
yeah.
you talk about everything, you unwind, you
yeah.
so that part is really appealing. The
you want a best friend with benefits.
A best friend, yeah. And someone that you can just kind of go, oh, this was shit, or mm. this happened today, or they celebrate your I guess in a relationship, in successful relationships, is that it's a cheerleader.
Yeah, oh.
Because they go,
love like, that.
Anything you do,
yeah.
they go, oh, that's amazing.
Yes.
Or, and I've certainly had partners like that.
Yes.
I've never had a partner that's been like rolling their eyes at me or anything because that's not that's
I've
not
had
something
both.
Really, yeah, yeah.
I've both.
Never had that.
Yeah.
Because that's
once
such a hard thing.
Once you get to my age, you'll probably find out. Yeah. I think it's a massive red flag.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
if you're going, oh, I'm going to get back into stand-up and they go, yeah. why would you do that?
Sammy? Yeah, yeah.
Oh, red flag.
Because my friends always call me like the Patsy of, you know, Patsy and Adina from Ab Fab, because I'm just like, anything any friend says to me, I go, that's fabulous.
Oh, yeah.
Like, everything you're doing is great.
Yeah, full of positivity.
Yeah. And so when you have
that's
a
why
partner,
you have so many friends.
Yeah, yeah. And mm. that's, you know, it's not a negative thing. I don't want to be negative to anyone.
No.
So it's like, you know, when you have a partner, that's your cheerleader mm. and that's someone that just goes, oh, my God, mm. or laughs at everything you
yes.
say or just thinks. And, you know, I've had friends that are just like, you know, can see it. So when you have a partner that they can see, that person is like, oh my God, you're their favorite person.
Yeah. I think it was Toni Morrison, a American writer anyway,
yeah.
who said she talked, I think it was her, talked about how kids should feel around you. And she said, it's very simple.
Yeah.
If you walk into a room, does their face light up?
Yeah.
Now, obviously, if you're parenting them, that's not going to happen every single time you see them. But I know what she means. Like,
yeah.
How do they feel around you?
Yeah.
And it's the same with the partner. Like, if you feel like I've got to dim my light, or I better not tell them I want to try stand up, or I better not da-da-da, this is not good.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean they can't challenge you.
Yeah.
You know, but they should be your cheerleader and you should be there. They should be delighted by you.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
You're delightful.
Yeah, yeah. But any story that you tell or anything, if someone's rolling their eyes, it's like it's definitely not.
I'm over that shit. For you.
I once went out with someone once that didn't find me funny at all. Ugh. And I was like, that's fair. But also, but you know, sometimes that's fair. But I remember and we only went out for a little bit. It wasn't very long because every time I'd be out at something and telling stories or anything, they just kind of nod. And it was just like, not adding to it. And one of my friends was like, I don't think this is going to last. I think you need a funny person.
What, I've said it before on the podcast. If you've got good bants,
for me,
that overrides almost everything.
Absolutely.
Like I've definitely been on dates with people I've had good bants with who were not my type physically.
Yes. Yeah.
But I'm like, they became it.
Yeah.
You know, because that connection's there.
Yeah. And it's so important. Like that sort of stuff where if you have your best friend who you also, you know, have a beautiful chemistry with you're sexually attracted to them.
Yeah.
Everything. When you find that person,
jackpot.
It's, you know, and it's so incredible to, and I've certainly had those people before where, you know, everything about them is exciting.
Yeah.
And, you know, you get a text from them and you're excited. And I've been, you know, 2 years into a relationship and I still get a text from someone. I'm so excited. And because I know they're going to say something hilarious, or I know they've got something that they want to tell me. And it's kind of a beautiful thing when you, I don't know, that person wants to tell you that thing.
Yes.
And they can't wait to get home.
And you've got a little shared
language.
And obviously I'm that person for you.
Of course. Yeah. But we're not making love.
Not yet.
Not yet.
Out of nothing at all, making love.
So many good songs on this podcast.
So many good songs. I love that. And I can tell you, I can hear them. There's the straight women in the wild kind of going, hang on. This is a straight single man saying, I like to cuddle.
Yeah.
I want to be your cheerleader.
Yeah.
I'm loving. I want to do stuff where I want to listen. And they're weeping.
Yeah.
Right. But let me say, I think it's really important because there's even a word for it, like heteropessimism.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where so many straight women on the apps in particular are like, oh God, there's no one there and there's nothing. Da, 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 da. I'm not saying they can all date you, clearly, but you are not the only one.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Yes, it's hard to find. Mm. And no one's going to deny that.
Yeah.
But don't lose hope.
No. I've got lots of great friends that, you know, are always really unlucky in love.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and they're such beautiful people and they're funny.
They're straight
and
ladies, aren't they?
Yeah. There are some good guys that, you know, that are just kind of unlucky in love, and it's so hard because you know how great they are and you know how funny they are, but then they, you know, become too emotionally invested too early, or scares someone off, or
sometimes they don't find their person. I mean, how you edit this bloody podcast, you listen to the callers. Sometimes they don't find their person till they're 60.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, like sometimes you can be right person, wrong time.
Yeah.
Like even I was talking to my daughter the other day who's 16, and she actually, like, she looks at the guys at school and is like, oh God, they all seem like kids.
Yeah.
You know, and that can happen. Like you might just be a bit, I think probably because of her health challenges, she had to grow up quicker.
Sure.
You can be in a different, that can be you at 25 or 35.
Yeah.
And maybe it starts to even out when you're a bit older.
Yeah.
And then you find your people.
Yeah. I've certainly, two of my friends, Ads and Spanner, they kind of met when they were, I think, 40 something.
Yeah.
And they are the most beautiful couple. Like you just kind of go, they're each other's cheerleader.
That's where you go, oh, bless.
Yeah, I saw them for dinner last night. And when you walk and get a drink at the bar, they are, you walk back to the table and they're laughing about something.
Yes.
They're giggling, they're touching each other.
Yes.
You know, it's so nice.
Yes.
Like it's lovely to come into the room and see them together and kind of, this is beautiful.
That's just reminded me, and then we'll move on. But I just went on the cruise, as you know.
Yes, yeah.
And my beautiful friend Jill and I and Trev, we were all sitting there on the deck chair and we were looking at our friends who we went with, who are a couple, and they were in the pool. And I think they've been together for a couple of years, and they were just like floating around, and they were both laughing, and like one would go under the water and they'd laugh and pop back up. And all of us got a bit teary.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's like it's that beautiful thing of watching two people in love, not just in love, but that who really entertain each other, who are really sweet. I reckon Sam would be maybe 52, Mel would be maybe mid-30s.
Thought you were talking about me for a second. Yeah. 52.
You know, like not the conventional like age range. They met, you know, relatively recently. All around.
Yeah.
Happy as Larry.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, oh, I love this.
It's so beautiful.
Isn't it
it's
gorgeous?
It's so beautiful to see that and just be like, oh, that's such a – such a nice thing. And when you have someone that is 100% all about like loving who you are.
Yes.
And they don't want you to change, or they don't want anything to be different.
I take you as you are today.
Yeah, yeah. Which is such a beautiful thing. Yeah, absolutely.
Beautiful. All right. Now we're going to, for our culture share, we're going to share the gist of your fabulous podcast.
Yeah, that's right.
So your podcast, which I've been on a couple of times and is genuinely one of my favourite podcasts. Like I absolutely love it. So it's called Confessions.
It's called Confessions. So each week I find online Reddit confessions for great guests to pick apart and give advice on. And it's gorgeous because every person that comes on is just is wonderful. But the people on Reddit.com, it's an absolute bin fire of people. And I have found some quick fire confessions today to go through.
Hit me.
We've got Sarah. Sarah confesses. Next door neighbours live abroad most of the year and only come here 3 times a year. For 2 weeks. We have a sped of keys to keep an eye on their home. Been hiring it out as an Airbnb for £75 per night.
Sarah.
Sarah. What do you think about Sarah?
Oh, fuck off, Sarah.
Yeah. That's a big thing to do.
That's a running terrible thing to do.
Yeah.
So you trust your neighbours.
Yep.
With your house keys, which is a big thing.
Yeah, sure.
Trust them with your space. And she's hiring that to randos.
Yeah. Imagine if you're like your caravan that you have. Imagine if you found out that a friend of yours was renting it out.
Ropeable.
Do you confront Sarah?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Like there's no grey area.
No.
Sometimes with your confessions, I'm like, I can see, you know. Like, absolutely not.
Yeah. Like, there's one side to this story.
There's one side. Yeah. Sarah, you're wrong.
Yeah.
Stop it. Jeez. And also, why go on Reddit and like, what did she expect someone to go, that sounds reasonable.
Yeah, that sounds fine. Can I get a link to the place? I'd love to see it. Sounds great.
No.
£75 a night in central London? Yeah. Yes, please.
Oh, that's a terrible. Wouldn't you confront her?
Yeah, I would. Yeah, I'd say something
that's
to her.
That's shocking.
Yeah.
I hope they see their own place. Yeah. It's like when, you know, I heard the other day, I went and saw some stand-up and this guy, which actually made me feel very sad, but I don't know what I'm telling you, but I'm going to do it.
Stand-up that makes you feel sad.
Stand-up makes you feel sad. Saw his niece on an OnlyFans.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah.
That's more sinister.
Yeah.
But this one, I'm like, imagine if they're looking for
a place to stay.
Airbnb and see their own house.
Yeah.
What a violation.
A violation, yeah. We've got the next one that comes from Mick. Had a summer job years ago processing speeding fines at the police station.
Yep.
One came through for a mate doing 95 miles per hour on the motorway.
Yeah.
Shredded it. One was for a local Tory MP. Changed the 60-pound fine to £6,000 fine and processed it. No idea if they paid.
Wow.
That's huge, isn't it? Mick made an honest mistake, I think he's saying to his employer at the time. Look, he's definitely gone with that story.
He's Robin Hood.
He's doing some good.
He's a virtuous hero.
Yeah.
I'm not sure about letting the friend off.
Yeah.
Because I'm worried about the road trauma, but that's my, you know, hypervigilance side.
Yeah, sure.
I'm happy to, like, when I worked at Red Rooster.
Bragging again.
Again, for many years. Big Rooster it was when I started.
Was it actually called Big Rooster?
Big Rooster, then Chicken Treat, then Red Rooster.
Chicken Treat.
We'd run out of chicken regularly, so people would come through going, oh, is it just treat? Oh, fuck off. I'm 15. I'm paid $4.80
an hour.
I don't
want to be here either.
But I would do that classic thing of, like, my friend Tiff would come through the drive-thru and I would fill up her chips container with nuggets.
Great.
And then just put a few chips. Like, I'm happy to steal for a friend.
Yeah, sure.
Happy
from Big Rooster.
From Big Rooster.
From Big Rooster.
But the road trauma bit worries me. But in terms of the...
Why are they doing 95 miles per hour in a zone?
And that's miles.
Yeah. That's very
nearly
fast.
200 Ks.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not into that.
Not into it. I don't like it one bit.
Charging the Tory MP $6,000?
Yeah.
Love it.
Can't get on board with that.
Living for it.
We've got Justin. For as long as I live, I will never use the long hose at a petrol station and go round the back of my car to fill it up like some sort of automotive reach around.
What?
No thanks.
Just
love people that write like that. Oh, I know what you're thinking. It's like we weren't thinking that, mate.
No one
is looking at you going,
Justin, you are actually the weirdo. And you know what? If the biggest problem in your life,
yeah.
if the only thing you've got to be defiant about is not using a particular hose,
yeah.
you are the definition of privilege.
Yeah.
This would be one of those pricks who'd be on the, I'm not doing the lockdown.
Yeah.
He'd be on the West Gate. First time in his life he's been told no.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
You need bigger problems, Justin.
So toxic to go, every time someone's going to call that. Oh, reach around.
Yeah, whatever.
Fuck off.
Oh, yeah, you fuck off, Justin. No one wants to date you either.
Erin confesses, I've taken to adding quite large adhesive googly eyes to cars parked badly in car parks. I make a point of only doing it in ones where they are facing inwards so the driver will not have a clue what I've done and be driving around for ages with them.
What?
Yeah. So if they can't see it, so they're obviously parked against a wall or something, they're not going to see the googly eyes at the front. So they just kind of do it to them so they don't even know that they're driving around with these massive googly eyes.
Oh, and Erin.
Erin's got a lot of time on her hands.
Get on the app.
Yeah. Erin needs more in her life.
You need some actual drama.
Yeah. Like start some shit, Erin.
Mind you, a friend of mine who shall remain nameless, who has a very high-powered white-collar job, prestigious individual, that's not the right, respectable person.
Yep.
A guy kept parking across her driveway.
Yep.
And she couldn't get the pram out and blah, blah. She keyed his car.
Wow.
There was part of me like, oh, you don't key someone's car.
Yeah.
But the idea of her doing it was so delicious
because
she's so prim and proper.
Yeah.
And you would never expect anything from her.
It's Google 0 to 100 as well.
0 to 100.
Yeah,
like, talk to the guy.
Yeah, have a conversation.
Maybe. Even let the air out of his tires.
Yeah, sure. Before
but
you
keying
can.
It.
Yeah.
That's, oh, I think it's stupid.
Yeah, you think it's stupid?
Do
you? Yeah, I think so. Yeah, the googly eyes are not really getting back at them either.
Also, it's not getting back at them at all. And just find a hobby.
Yeah, find a hobby for God's sake.
Start drinking, Erin.
Alicia confesses, I actually prefer seeing tribute bands over real bands.
Yeah.
They're pretty much guaranteed to play the songs I want to hear in better venues and I don't have to pay £100 to go for it.
Right.
Should I tell my partner? I don't think they'd understand.
Look, controversial opinion, but I'm with her. Like, it depends.
You're gonna play the good ones.
If it's someone that you absolutely love and you just want to be in their presence, course a tribute band's not going to cut it.
Yeah.
But if it's about the music and you want the bangers, go to the Queen tribute band.
Yeah.
I mean, Freddie's R.I.P. anyway.
Yeah, sure.
But, I get it.
Yeah. Like, there's a guy that does Robbie Williams and Elton John.
Get it?
I think that's fun.
Elton John. I can't see Elton John.
No.
I haven't got a grant.
Yeah.
He's not coming to Australia again.
Yeah, no.
But even if I think of someone, like one of my favourite bands is called Chisel.
Yeah.
Of course I'd love to be in the presence of Jimmy Barnes.
Sure, yeah.
But I'd happily go to a covers band.
Yeah.
If they're good. They're going to do K-San.
Yeah.
They're going to do Flame Trees.
Yeah. They only do the hits.
Happy as Larry.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
And if your partner doesn't like you because of that, fuck him off.
Yeah, fuck him off.
He's dead to me.
We've got the final one from Dave. Chef/small business owner here.
Yeah.
If you ask me to sort you out or give you a bigger portion, I'll purposely give you a shit or small portion for being an asshole.
Oh, fuck off.
Isn't that rude? That's Dave.
Oh, working
in customer service of all places.
Oh, my God, Dave, you hate your job.
Yeah.
You hate yourself.
Yeah.
Move on.
Yeah, move on with your life, Dave.
Because it's a reasonable thing for someone. You know when people get judgy? Like, I have my steak medium rare.
Sure.
But if I'm with a friend or on a date and they want it well done, it's your steak, mate.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, you're paying the same for it.
If you like your steak like that, I'm sorry, the chef can just deal with it.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
You're the one eating it.
Yeah. Fuck off, Dave.
Like, live with it.
Yeah. That's Dave. That's Dave's
problem. This is the job you're in, Dave.
Yeah. That'd be like
you and I going to a stand-up club and kind of going, well, They better laugh.
Yeah.
And if they don't, they can fuck off.
Yeah, that's right.
Guess what? It's my job.
Yeah, yeah. I charge them more if they don't laugh. I think that's actually a pretty good business model. I'm going to do that.
Oh, I love it. So you got to go and listen to Confessions.
Yes.
And I will put a link in the show notes.
Confessions, the podcast, and all the social medias.
All the and you're Sammy Peterson.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to give you a meme. Are you ready?
Great, I'm always ready.
This is from at Real Feminism on Instagram, I think it is. So there's a picture that I need to describe, which is like a Barbie doll that looks startled.
Right.
And the text is, my face whenever someone says their boyfriend won't let them.
Well, that's a cheerleading thing, Woo! Isn't it?
Yes.
Like, you know, if they're saying you can't do something or something's dumb.
Yeah.
Or whatever it is,
yeah.
That's not the person for you.
I don't think so.
No.
And
no.
Regardless of the gender.
Yeah.
Because I've seen that in all sorts of configurations of relation. Oh, there's Missy Diggins. In all sorts of configurations.
Yeah.
Like, can you think of a real world example where you've heard that?
I have heard, I think I've heard people be like, oh, you don't have another drink, or kind of looking down on someone if they want to get another drink or something.
Yeah.
Where I think if it's okay and the environment's okay, I don't know why a partner's telling their partner not to do
that. A grown adult.
It's really odd when someone's like, I don't think you should.
Mm.
Or, you know, and it's kind of like putting them down in front of everyone. Mm. Like that's the thing, I think, like putting someone down in front.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
...of a table of people is always just a bad decision.
Let me play devil's advocate with that one. Mm. When I see that situation, I think, what have they done before?
Yeah, okay.
Like have they, after a few drinks, so they become a loose unit and become reckless or rude.
Yeah, yeah.
And is their partner trying to
save everyone?
In both ways, it's shit.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they need to control their own behaviour.
Yeah.
But it would make me question, something's happened here.
Yeah, there's a bit more here.
Maybe.
Yeah,
Or maybe they're just controlling.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah. It's just odd when you see it like in a group full of people and someone
it's not,
like,
not,
although someone just wants to get out of there as well. Like one of the people in the partnership is wanting to get out.
Yes.
And you're like, yeah, the other person's having a really good time.
Yes.
And I always feel bad when like they have to do whatever just their partner wants to do. Just go home.
Leave the partner there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know the thing I hate, which reminds me of that drinking one, when a couple clearly cannot have discussions one-to-one and they fight passive-aggressively through the group.
Yeah, yeah.
So if it's you and I, I'm like, yeah, so Sammy loves a few drinks.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Rather than sitting you down at home and going, Sammy, actually when you have more than three wines, I get scared.
Yes, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Or your behaviour, like you get a bit reckless with my feelings. Or
whatever.
They do it via the group.
Yeah.
Oh, that's uncomfortable.
It's horrible. And it's just a bad situation for everyone to be in because, you know, you at the table, you're not going to speak up.
Yeah.
You're not going to be like, oh, they do. Yeah. Or that, you know, you go, oh, you're not going to go, oh, stop it.
Yeah.
You know, you're not really going to do that if you know them really well.
Yes.
And then you're awkward because you're like, oh, they've had a fight on the way here. Or
yeah.
It's like when you're at someone's house, like you're at a couple's house and you know that they're going to have a massive fight when you leave.
It's brutal.
It's brutal. And you can just feel the tension or the stares all night. Yeah. Or you know they've had a fight just before you got there.
Or they're clipped.
Their words
are clipped. Oh, my God. I just remembered I was at a dinner party. This is a long time ago. But I remember being at a dinner party where one half of the couple started basically saying the other one wouldn't put out.
Oh, my God.
So started they don't have enough sex. They don't put, you know, all of this kind of stuff. In a group.
In front of the other person in the
oh my god
oh wow
with them that like it felt coercive
to me,
to the point where and I wouldn't normally do this but I did actually intervene and
wow
went, nah
yeah good nah. yeah Well, I guess in that situation, it's kind of better to.
Yeah.
Like to actually say something. Yeah.
Like
yeah.
that, how awful to yeah. be, like have a group of people basically calling you a prude.
It's so belittling.
It's so belittling. And yeah. with sexual stuff.
Yeah.
You've got to be bloody careful before you air that publicly.
Yeah. I had a friend that they were dating someone who I really just didn't like. Mm. And it takes me a lot not to like someone, but it was like consistent putting down of her anytime we were out or anything. And then they finally broke up. And I read this quite great quote, and I don't really remember where it's from, but it was when you wear rose-colored glasses, all flags start to look like red flags in the end.
Yeah.
And you go, oh, yeah, because if you're seeing all the things all the time and thinking they're amazing, then everything – no, so I think it's red flags just seem like flags or flags, whatever it is. Yeah, just regular flags. But, yeah.
It's normalised.
It's normalised, yeah. And so when you
– because they're just joking, Sammy.
Yeah, yeah, they're just having some fun, having a muck about.
They just called you a whore. Yeah. But it's really funny.
Yeah, yeah, it's funny when they say it.
Their friends laughed at you.
Yeah.
And they can't take a joke when you do it. But it's just funny.
Yeah, yeah. Nah. It's horrible.
Did you tell that friend you didn't like the
I
partner?
Did. Yeah, did I you? Did.
And how
yeah.
did that go?
It didn't, not well. It, didn't, yeah, it wasn't, yeah. wasn't the, my favourite night. It's hard. But I just told them I didn't really like them, and they were very defensive. Mm. Like they were like
on behalf of
on
the
behalf
partner.
Of them, yeah. Mm. And I just kept kind of saying it and being like, and then I ended up being like, oh, I don't really want to come if he's there, or you know, I started to do that, and then a lot of people started to do that, and then it slowly started to fall apart a bit. But then you also worry about someone being isolated in that situation as well. So
when they broke up, though, did they? Are you still friends with them?
Still friends with them. Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. And they're so much happier now.
Yeah, I bet.
Like they're freer, they're fun, they've met someone who like just is their cheerleader.
Yay.
And it's great. But it is interesting because you also don't want to be that person that says something, you know, as soon as someone breaks up with someone.
Yes.
And you're like, I thought they were a dick anyway. And then they get back together a week later and you're like sitting there at a dinner table being like.
100%. Oh, we're engaged.
You're engaged.
Oh, great.
It's so good.
I'm pregnant. Excellent.
Remember that hilarious lie I told you last week?
Remember when we were joshing?
Remember I was pranking? I did a prank.
But, you know, as we've said on this podcast before, I think you can – at the very least, kind of say, oh, I don't like it when they say that.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I think that's complete. Yes, you might get defensiveness,
but
I think it's better than just letting it roll because the way that works is that person feeds off the power of the group. If no one intervenes, it's that locker room mentality.
Yep.
Like, if there's a bunch of guys standing around talking about how gross vaginas are, and no one intervenes, well, the person saying it thinks everyone agrees.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
If one person kind of goes, oh, I don't know about that.
Yep.
Don't really like that.
Yeah.
Like it doesn't even have to be a direct full-on challenge.
Yeah.
It's still an intervention.
Yeah, yeah. You're part of the problem.
You're part of the problem. And saying to her, yeah, not wild about him putting you down.
Yeah.
That makes me feel a bit uncomfortable.
Yep.
Good, that she'll think about it later.
Yeah, yeah. And it took a bit of time for her to get out of it, but I just remember kind of going, oh, and it was like that meme. It was just like everything was always like a problem.
Yeah,
there was
of course.
Always a problem with everything.
Yeah, yeah.
Anytime she'd order something or anytime. Like I remember once, like we're out and she was like, I'm going to get a pizza tonight. And he goes, we had pizza last night.
Oh my god!
Like another toddler. What do you mean she can have the same thing two nights in a row?
Oh my god!
Just little things like that would just be like so grating. Like after a while, you're just like, oh my god, I can't believe this every time.
I remember I won't say who it is, but a family member started seeing this guy, and he came to our house, and the first thing he said to me, I had short hair at the time. The first thing he said to me is, I don't like women with short hair, and I was like, oh well,
yeah.
I'm sure you'll cope.
I'm sure.
And
I'll
then
be
he
fine
said,
too.
I wouldn't. Can you pick a girl's name for me? Because I don't
Deborah.
Want Deborah. So I wouldn't let Deborah have short hair. And that's when I went, whoa,
wow.
Like this
let
is
her.
Let her.
Yeah.
This woman was in her 30s.
Yeah.
Like talk. That's not just a red flag. That's like you're getting smacked around the face.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
just started dating.
Yep.
And this guy's trying to control your fucking haircut.
Yeah, that's nuts.
But also making a direct challenge to a stranger in their own house.
Mm, Yeah.
Like, what does he think of women?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like, yeah, it's so brutal.
That's awful. I wouldn't let her do that. It's such an awful.
Let her.
Yeah.
Oh, my skin crawled. And turns out, yes.
Diggs wants to get a tight perm and I'll let him.
Oh, he's going to have to grow some hair first. He wants a Brazilian. That's what he told me.
That's right. He can have both.
He wants a crack sack and back wax.
It's going to be a big day.
Once a month. Get him some laser. Yeah. Look at him, the poor little fella. All right. You ready for a listener call?
Absolutely.
Hi, Nelly. Just wanted to let you know how fantastic I'm finding your podcast. And I really appreciated the advice that I received from a question that I submitted. And things are going well with me with dating. I've been dating someone really nice since April, and we're actually heading off on a 2.5 months overseas holiday together. So that will be a good further test of our relationship while we're travelling together. Both of us have children who live in Europe, so we're visiting them and doing some other things as well. And I love all your guests. It's just so interesting hearing everybody's stories and insights. And I also appreciated the opportunity to live stream your show, because your live show, because for those of us that can't get to Melbourne, it's a great opportunity to share the fun. Thank you. Bye.
Oh, that's lovely. That's so nice. Sweet. Yeah. And good. What a nice update as well.
Yeah.
Like sending you a little update to say things are going well.
I love
it. Going to a new stage and traveling overseas. And that's so lovely.
And if I remember correctly, obviously, look, my memory's not great and we do get a lot of calls, which is brilliant.
Yeah.
I think she's either in her late 50s or early 60s.
Yeah. Okay.
So she's starting again from that age.
Yeah.
Bracket.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Got on the apps,
great.
Has found some, you know, obviously been through some bad dates and good dates and whatever, but is in this position. I just think it's really sweet. Like, good on her.
Yeah, it's lovely. That's so nice to be able to go, the community that you've created is lovely, where people feel like they can check in. Like, it's more like a dialogue rather than, you know, this is the advice and this is what you need to do, rather than this is exactly an open discussion and a forum where people
and can. And let us know.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you might, and this is all part of it, you know, you and I have both experienced this, you might start again and it doesn't work out.
Of course.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. That's part of it. Or you might end up in Europe on this 2.5 month trip and then go, should have made it 2.5 weeks.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Yeah. Tell us that. That's okay.
And travel is a good way to find out if you like someone. It's really good.
My waters are stirring.
Yeah.
Like, I'm slightly uncomfortable.
It's terrifying to go away with someone that you realize a lot about them as you're there.
I would want my own room.
Yeah, but absolutely.
That's not practical.
That's not practical when you're traveling for a few months together.
You're going to share, but the idea of, so what are we in? September, October really.
Yeah, yeah.
So they've been dating for, say, 5 months, 6 months. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's bold to go away for 2.5 months
it's
together.
It's huge. It's like half the time almost that you've been dating you're going to go away for.
I'd like an update.
Yeah, yeah.
Mind you, maybe they see each other 5 times a week.
Yeah, sure.
Do you know what I mean? Like maybe they've spent a lot of time together.
Yeah.
I'm looking at it from my point of view, which is not how I can date.
Yes, yeah.
You know, so maybe they've spent heaps of time together and she knows.
Yeah, and they're ready. Yeah. They could be really ready to do it and it's a really nice thing for them to do it.
Yeah.
But, you know, good luck.
Yeah.
Call back. Also, 5-star review on whatever app you're on.
You with Arc de Triomphe.
Yeah.
You in Berlin. And you in, like, I just love.
Yeah.
You remember the, what was the movie where they had the gnomes? Where you'd take a photo of yourself everywhere you went. It was a French film.
Yeah, yeah.
Years ago. So every new city you go to, you have the same gnome and you take a photo. Like, that's what I'm saying.
Yes.
In my mind.
But they're dressed as gnomes.
Dressed as gnomes. Lederhosen.
Yeah.
This new couple, late in life, found each other, haven't even if that's all that happens, that they have this European adventure.
Yeah.
Take it.
It's so much fun and you'll love have it. A great time. And also just going away. Yeah. Like you can have your alone time.
Yeah.
If you're not getting along, go for a walk.
Yeah.
Go for a long walk.
And if you don't have a great time, you'll have a bloody good story.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like this is what we call a win-win situation.
Yeah, it is, absolutely.
I love it.
Do stand up.
Do stand. Can you imagine? What a
get
show.
Get up and just tell that story.
What a show. All right. Now I have for you a listener letter.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful.
Hi, Nellie. I wanted to get your advice on dating with a medical condition. Despite being quite fit and healthy, I was diagnosed with a congenital heart condition a couple of years ago at the age of 47. This was just a couple of weeks after my husband told me he was done with our marriage. Fuck me, what a year. I ended up needing open heart surgery to fix the issue later that year, so now I have a big scar, which is around 10 centimetres long on my sternum, which I can cover easily enough with clothes, but obviously it's noticeable if I'm wearing bathers or underwear or naked, etc. So I've just started putting myself out there and dating via the apps, and to say it's been hard work would be an understatement. After being married for nearly 20 years, I'm definitely out of practice. The trouble I'm having is working out when I should tell dates about my heart condition. Basically, she's on medication for the rest of her life. She might need surgery again. I recently had a few dates with someone. I'm going to edit this down just because it's a bit long. Chemistry was great. They had sex. He said it was all fine. And then later on, they chatted via text for the next couple of days and he expressed that the scar had affected him more than he expected. And 3 days afterwards, he messaged and said they needed to cool things. He dumped her,
right,
basically.
Yeah.
Made up some excuse about something to do with his daughter, but he'd already identified that basically the scar freaked him out.
Wow.
And then she saw him with another woman like a week later or something like that. This experience has dented my already low confidence even further. Should I not date if I have an ongoing medical condition? When should I tell dates? Part of me thinks, why do I have to tell them? And then the other part of me thinks I should tell them because it's right between my boobs. A couple of other people I've told after a few dates have just ghosted me. How do I handle this going forward as clearly I'm doing something wrong?
Oh, that's horrible.
Oh, you're doing nothing wrong. Let's start with that.
Yeah, yeah.
Come on. A 10 centimeter scar is going to freak you out.
That's wild. And also for him to say that it was too much for him.
What a fool.
What a thing to say.
I'm sorry that thing that saved your life.
Yeah, yeah. And it puts you off so much, a little scar.
I don't believe him.
No. I think there's something else going on with him.
I think let's step back for a sec.
Yeah.
Maybe he just wanted a route.
Yes.
He wanted to fucking run,
yep.
Which he's allowed to do if he's upfront about it.
Yeah, yeah.
But to put that on her and say, oh, actually, I can't deal with that scar.
Yeah, make her feel more self-conscious
about it. God, that's cruel.
Yeah, yeah. It's it's horrible. Look, I have a heart condition and I'm not in the same situation, but I don't think I would tell.
I wouldn't.
Someone, unless it was like a while down the track, and if that's on them, if they want to be that person, then that's more on them. So I've got facial palsy, and I was asked once when I went on a date, someone said to me, you should have told me about that.
What?
Before we went on the date about your smile. And I was like, that's such an odd thing because
are you serious?
Yeah. And I was like, oh, like, would that have stopped you from going on a date? Like, was that, so I kind of had
what
a joke.
What did she say?
She said, no, it just would have made me think. Like, and I was like,
what?
Oh, what made you think?
What, like, so should I disclose to a date that I've got stretch marks?
Yeah, yeah. It is so odd to be like, what do I have to tell you?
Like what aspects of my body need to be disclosed?
Yeah,
because again, I'm sorry, certainly if you're my age,
yep.
You are going to, anyone's body you're dealing with is going to have stretch marks, they're going to have surgery scars.
Yeah,
like, I've got surgery scars. They're not 10 centimetres long.
Yeah.
But they're there.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, this is wild
to
me.
It's wild. Yeah, and people, I don't know, it's just so odd. Like, so when I was in a relationship after that, I think every few months I'd sit down with the partner and just be like, I just want to tell you I've got facial palsy.
Yeah.
But it is so.
Did it make you self-conscious?
It did. It did. And that's what my new the stand-up show is about. It's called Why the Long Face, and it's about that. But I don't know. It's so interesting because I don't really think. I think meeting someone and getting their vibe and knowing who they are as a person and you like them or not, people are sometimes really good texters. Sometimes people are really good, but not in real life.
Yes.
And then you meet them and you're like, oh, that's a person that I could see something happening with or that I really like them as a person. And sometimes it just doesn't work. That doesn't mean they're a bad person, but sometimes that doesn't work. And I don't know, I kind of feel like you just need to meet people, and if you feel like they're your person, that's great, and it kind of goes with the flow, it progresses. But I certainly don't think it should stop you from dating.
100% no. Like, let's be 100% clear, you've done nothing wrong. This guy's a prick.
Yeah, a real
prick. I'm sorry, like, there is actually no grey area here.
No.
Like, what he's done is wrong.
Yes.
And I don't believe it.
No, no.
Like, if something like a 10-centimetre scar is going to freak you out, or fucking facial palsy.
Yeah.
Or like you're an asshole.
You're an asshole. And that's not the person for you. And you don't want to be with that person anyway.
And part of me thinks on that basis, because she is feeling insecure, like I certainly wouldn't be putting in my profile, oh, I've got a 10-centimeter scar. Like, don't be apologetic about it.
Yeah, yeah.
But at some point in discussions, maybe say, oh, here's something wild. I had open heart surgery.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to then put yourself in this situation again where you're vulnerable sexually. Anyone naked feels vulnerable.
Sure.
And have some asshole repeat this and it becomes something that you then start to believe.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it's an aberration. I mean, you're the straight guy in the room.
Yeah.
Do you honestly think most men would freak out at that? Like this?
I don't think so.
I really don't. No. Am I being naive?
No, I don't think so. I can't imagine that would be an issue where you would bring it up.
Honestly.
Because that's obviously a part of them and it's their experience and everything. I just can't imagine bringing something like that up and kind of being annoyed about it.
No.
It seems so odd to be like, that's something that you've been through.
Yeah.
Now I'm mad about it. Now it affects me. It's like it doesn't affect you at all.
A surgery scar.
Yeah.
Like I'm trying to put myself in the position where that would...
Yeah.
Bother me.
Yeah, I can't imagine that it ever would.
It's not even an extreme, whatever that means. It's not even an extreme bodily difference.
No, no.
It's a fucking scar.
Yeah, it's a small scar that is just part of them. It's part of their makeup and you can't really...
Yeah.
No, because it's their experience and you can't be mad about that and you certainly can't say anything.
And you don't need to – you're not the president of the United States. You don't need
hardly anyone is.
Yeah, thank God. Yeah. Medical workup.
Yeah,
I don't think you need to disclose a heart condition.
No, and if it's stressing you out and if it's making you feel like you need to say something, sure. If you feel like you need to say something, if it makes you feel uncomfortable or it's a self-conscious thing, I understand that. You know, you want to say something, sure, but – I don't think you need to say it until you know that it's someone that you can trust and be around and want to be around. And even then, if you have to have, you know, heart surgery and everything, that's a conversation that you can say when you're ready. You don't. Yeah. You certainly don't owe that to anyone.
And maybe a few dates in or messaging or whatever, whenever you feel like the right time, maybe you can lead
a
question where you say something like, oh, what's something hard you've been through?
Yeah, yeah.
And then they can tell you and then you go, oh, actually I had open heart surgery.
Yeah, that's like someone who waits for you to finish your story so they can tell a story. They go, have you been travelling recently? Yeah, I went to Portugal actually, if I could just be really...
But in this case, I'll pay it.
Yeah, I think that's for good.
Because
you can
actually listen to let them be vulnerable first also neutralises it.
Yeah, that's
what
true.
I don't want is her going in apologetic. Like, I'm so sorry, I've got a heart condition.
Yeah.
Fuck that.
Yeah, yeah. You can't be apologetic.
It's not a moral issue.
No, no.
Like, your heart condition is not a moral issue.
No, I don't need to tell anyone about that.
I really don't think you do.
No, no.
Like, unless there's a chance. If you've got a let's say, for like, my dad's epileptic.
Sure.
If my dad were dating, weird. Maybe on some level that would be something you want to disclose in case you had a fit.
Yes, yeah. Yeah,
all right? There might be an implication
for
the person that you – it depends how many seizures you have and all that sort of stuff. But this doesn't sound like this situation.
No, you don't owe them that.
You really don't.
No.
And can I just repeat again, his response is weird.
It's weird. It's very weird. Yeah, and you don't want to be with that person.
I can't – and I've been in this situation, I'm sure you have – where you've seen someone naked for the first time and there's something unexpected and you don't go, oh.
No. Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Just deal with it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Human beings have got bodies.
Yeah. You've got 18 nipples.
Oh, my
Never
God.
I've seen that before, but that's fun.
If I probably would want to know that.
Yeah. What's the story here? To be fair. Well, it's a good story.
Like, how many women have cesarean scars?
Yeah.
You know, or like there's a whole range of shit that you've been through by this age.
Yeah, yeah. No, you can't.
I'm baffled. Put it on yourself.
Yeah. You can't make that your problem. That's not your problem.
No,
please.
That's their problem. Take that basketball and give it back to him because he's fucking weird.
Yeah, yeah. Sounds like a you problem.
You are not.
Yeah. And do stand up.
Yeah. Please. And ring back in and tell us about your next hottentot hottie.
Yeah, absolutely. Or you can go on a European vacation if you really want. There's someone, there's a plane leaving soon with
now
two
I want to go to
on.
Europe.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Me too.
The flight's too long. Let's go to Bali. Yeah.
Same diff.
Bogan Bali. Yeah. Same shit, different bucket.
That's right.
All right, so no shade on my ex. Can you tell me stupid shit an ex has done?
So I once was going out with someone who I was really excited they were coming back to. Okay, now let me tell you this one first. Because
who said why the long face?
That's right. Yeah, everyone opens with that. No, okay. So one time a partner was organising me a surprise birthday party.
Yeah.
And they got the nights wrong and we rocked up to the venue.
That's the
and we got into a very long table, and and I was like, "Why are we sitting here?" And they're like, "You'll see,
you'll see."
And then we sat at this really long table for a really long time, and I was like, to the waiter, I was like, "Have we got the right table? Like, it seems weird. It's so busy up on Lygon Street. Like, why are you putting us?" You know, and Lygon Street is a very busy street in Melbourne, and especially on like a Saturday night, and we've taken up this table.
So she'd booked the table.
Yeah, 20 people.
But told the people the wrong night. Oh, Sammy.
And we'd gone, we were a week early. And we'd gone.
A week early. Not even a night.
No, because it was, I think she'd asked when I was free and got the dates wrong, and we were there, I think, like a day before my birthday, but most people were free the week after. But she just went, that's the date we're going with in her head. And then, rocked up and it was like 20 people. Oh. And then, realised as she like went to the bathroom and came back, and she was like, oh my God, this was meant to be your surprise party. So that was one.
I mean, that's a good story.
Yeah. The other one was that I got blindsided. I went and met my girlfriend at the time at an airport.
Yeah.
And I had a sign that just said, welcome home, Juliet. Scott Brennan still has this sign. And I had this sign I made. It was like bejeweled and stuff.
Yeah.
And then she came through the doors and it was like, I think it was like a 3-hour delay or something, but I didn't know because I wasn't really checking the thing. So every time I was like waiting at the gate and all these people were coming through and just seeing my sign and seeing me, just real hopeful. And then she came out of the door and she goes, I met someone else.
I know it's not funny, but the look on your face.
And we had to.
You'd bedazzled a sign.
It was all bejeweled. It was very nice. And then we had a long drive home. I still drove her home.
Oh, Sammy.
Yeah. We're about to move in together. So that didn't happen. I moved in with Oliver Clark instead, which was a wonderful experience in my life. I went to his place and he could not stop laughing all night. Like, he would just erupt into laughter every now and again, just crying, laughing.
Everything
at my
looks
sign.
Better on a doily.
That's right. And oh he come in. I remember God. He came into the room at one point, and the welcome home Juliet was like on the mantelpiece, and he just broke down laughing again. Welcome home.
I feel like I shouldn't be laughing.
No, it's good. It's good.
I cannot.
No,
stop
no, it's
laughing.
So funny. Yeah, that's Scott Brennan still has a sign in his house. It's on his bookshelf.
Welcome home, Juliet. Yeah.
Welcome
Juliet.
Home. Welcome home.
Oh my God.
So they're probably the big. Yeah, they're probably the big ones.
Oh, sweet, sweet Sammy.
The young boy at the time.
Why didn't she tell you at the end of the car trip?
I don't know. It was all too much. Yeah. It was
Can
all,
I tell I you a story that guilt. I have not told on the podcast that'll make you feel better? I will not say her name. Pick a girl's name.
Deborah.
So Deborah and I were dating. We were together. I was probably like 19, 20. We were together for like a year and a half. Lived together.
Yep.
And then I opened the newspaper. I was living in Perth at the time. I opened the West Australian. This is in the 90s, so everything's still done in the newspaper.
Sure.
I see Deborah's engaged to a mutual friend of ours who's a man. And I'm like, Deborah, what the, like, what is this? And she's like, oh, yeah, I just really want to get married. And I'm like,
no biggie.
What?
Stress less, Nellie.
What? She's like, it's fine. We can just, like, continue as is. And I'm like,
I don't see a big change.
No,
for us.
We can't.
Like, when it comes to the wedding.
But seriously, she talked about it like it was so matter of fact. Like, well, why shouldn't I get a wedding? I'm like, because you're in a relationship.
We're dating.
We're dating.
That's so funny. Wow.
Yeah. I mean, we talked about it years later and kind of laughed.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was like, are you very mental?
Because you don't, there's no way that's a normal conversation to have.
Oh, my God. But she said it like it was so normal. Like, I just want to get married.
Yeah. I don't know why you're freaking out. Like,
calm down,
Nellie. Sounds like a you problem,
Nellie. You're so uptight. Oh, yeah, sorry. Yeah. I don't want my partner to marry someone else.
A random mutual
friend. And to find out via the newspaper. Like, that's maybe so funny. We could have had a chat.
Just one little chat.
Little convo.
That's so funny.
Far out. All right, and we end on, she's a 10, but. So you're on a date with, like, the hottest, whatever that means to you. Mm-hmm. Like, chemistry's there. Everything's rocking along.
Yeah.
She does something, you go, oh, fuck no.
Well, I was going to say a sense of humour. If she doesn't have a sense of humour, that would kind of be my biggest thing.
Yeah.
Also someone that says doggo. I mean, there's certain things that just kind of hit me.
Put it in a sentence.
Oh, God, I saw the cutest doggo today.
See, I say kiddos.
Kiddos is fine. I don't know. Doggo always kind of
hits you wrong.
Hits me wrong. Or someone that says, like, literally, as like a sort of say, like,
when it's not literal.
Yeah, they'll go, or you're just having a conversation, you go, yeah, I was there. And they go, literally.
Yeah.
You go, no, I was there. Oh my literally. God. I've had people that do that just keep saying, literally, all the time. And also, people, you know, there's some people, I don't know if this is a bad thing to say or not, but people who, their personality is based off the last person they've seen.
Yes.
So I've certainly been out with people before that, like, when they see this friend, they become that person. All of their mannerisms and little wordings and everything become that person. And you kind of feel like then you're dating that friend.
Do you know what? That is very common in stand-up.
Yeah.
I find, you know, when you see people, they pick up, like, each other's little phrases turn of phrase, the intonation.
Yeah.
And then you're like, am I on a date with fucking Kitty Flanagan?
Or you? Yeah, yeah.
You know, like, or who, like, I'm trying to think of someone who's got obvious mannerisms.
Yeah, yeah.
Will Anderson, sure. You know, someone like that.
Yeah.
No, I totally, because it feels like then they're not authentic.
Yeah, it feels like they're not being themselves and then, you know, and you don't really know the real them.
Yes.
Like, it's really
maybe
hard.
They don't.
Yeah, yeah. It's
Which is even more disturbing.
It is, it is. And then you meet someone, you're like, oh, my God, you're the same person.
Yeah, you're a doggo.
You're a doggo. You're
How
a real
ironical.
Doggo.
How ironical.
Yeah.
That one's mine.
Yeah.
Ironical's not a word.
Yeah.
Literally.
Yeah, yeah. Literally. Or someone who says awesome sauce or amazeballs.
Say amazeballs.
Do you say amazeballs?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Not really anymore, but I used to.
Yeah, yeah. There's a little, if you're having a conversation with someone, they're like, awesome sauce. And you're
I've never heard
why
that.
Why are you saying that? Yeah, it's an odd little, but there's some things, and I think you can get over those sorts of little things, but I don't know why doggo just irks me so much. No, I don't know.
Sometimes something just hits you.
Yeah. Your little doggo.
It just hits you wrong.
Yeah.
Like there's some associate. This is when I start to spiral into like past life theory.
Yeah.
Where I'm like, was I in a situation, you know, 100 years ago where someone said doggo and then I got like garrotted.
I got upset.
Like why is it upsetting me? So it's irrational.
It just hits you. It really is irrational.
You know, and you know it's irrational.
Literally.
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 But you can't. Like, it's ironical that you can't get past it.
It's ironical you can't get past it, absolutely.
I'm paying it.
Yeah.
So who's the hottest woman you can think of other than me?
I love Rachel Weisz.
Oh, Rachel Weisz.
Yeah.
Gorgeous.
Yeah.
You're sitting on a date with Rachel Weisz and she says, doggo, are you leaving?
We get past it.
You get past it.
Yeah. For me, Rachel Weisz, we can work through anything, Nellie. So our love is real.
So there is no deal breaker.
There is an offer. Yeah. For Rachel Weisz, I will do that. I'll pay that for Rachel Weisz.
Even if she says, why didn't you tell me about your facial palsy and your heart condition?
You're I'll going, go, I'm literally.
Still here. Literally. Babe,
literally. Literally.
Can we just end on fuck that guy?
Yeah, fuck that guy. That guy sucks.
I hate him.
I hate him. Snap. I hate that guy.
Oh, producer Sammy, I love you so much.
Love you so much too.
Thank you so much for doing the potty.
Thank you for having me on.
And you slipped under the radar with the 40.
I did, absolutely. It's exciting. There haven't been many.
Bitch is back.
Bitch is back.
Thank you, Sammy.
Thank you.
Dear Nelly, I could use some advice, dear Nelly. Yes, yeah, some help would be nice, dear Nelly. I'm eager to hear your point of view, dear Nelly. There's a lot to explore, dear Nelly. When you're 40 or more, dear Nelly. So I'm hoping we can talk it through.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey, thanks so much for listening to Dear Nelly. Now, don't be shy. I would love to hear your questions and comments. To send me a recording or an email, go to nellythomas.com and follow the links. It's super easy, and you might hear me talk about your question in a future episode. Huge thanks to producer Sam Peterson from the Producer Boy Creative Production Team and to producer Faye Younger, who in addition to being an excellent human, is also a brilliant real estate buyer's advocate and can be found at youngerhill.com. Thanks to Acast and all the team. And lastly, to you. Without the listeners, I'm just a middle-aged mole talking shit to no one. Please rate, review, and consider subscribing for $5 a month for a bonus episode and to help me keep the lights on. And tell your bloody mates, would you? I'd really appreciate it. Love yous.